Casper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Casper
and Murray.
Casper
and Murray.
Right. From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is a Casperless Casper and Murray here on 98.5. The sports hub, Chris, actually off for the next couple of Saturdays. He's traveling for the holidays, so you have me, Big Jim Murray, alongside one half of the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray, here until 2 o'clock when we'll be leading you into Notre Dame and Syracuse football. And maybe we can get some insight onto how to actually wager on that game, perhaps some other games this weekend coming up in a little bit. With Joe Murray here. Huge win for the Boston Celtics last night over the Toronto Raptors, a game that I called a must-win on Felger and Maz yesterday. And we'll get to that coming up at noon with the Sports Hub Celtics show, because I think there is a lot to unpack from that game, from Kyrie Irving's dominance to the aggressive nature overall of the offense. I would certainly like to see more of Jason Tatum attacking the rim like he did last night. That was great. So some of the bad, like Jaylen Brown essentially getting straight-up benched in the fourth quarter late and all of overtime. So we'll get to that coming up in a little less than an hour. Sports Hub Celtics show, which starts at noon. In the meantime, I do want to spend some time with the Patriots. And how selfishly, I have to admit, I hate that they're on a bye this week. And for the team, obviously, the timing couldn't be any better. We're 11 weeks in, so they're obviously beat up physically. They could use a break. I have to imagine they're probably feeling pretty beat up mentally, at least some of these guys, after they get throttled by a mostly mediocre Titans team last Sunday. But for me, like I said, selfishly, I hate that they're on a bye week this week, because I hate having to sit here and wait until now after Thanksgiving to keep wondering whether or not this year's Patriots team might really suck as bad as I think that they do. And it's just too much time for me, again, selfishly, personally, to sit here and let my leftover bad feelings from last Sunday fester just with each passing day. And it is a lot of bad feelings, having gone and spent the money personally to go see that game. I do a road trip every year for like 14 years now. And that one, oh, that's one of the worst. So I sit here wondering, what the hell's wrong with Tom Brady? Is he hurt? Is he old? Why did he continually duck out of pressure? Especially when that pressure for much of the time was a mirage. Why did he miss so many open wide receivers? Is there something up between him and Chris Hogan, who he just won't even target, even though he's open? Can they actually put together four solid quarters of football on the road? Because so far this season, even in Buffalo against the Bills, who do stink, they couldn't do that on Monday night a few weeks back. They haven't played a solid road game all year. So I sit here wondering, is this 2009? Is this 2013 all over again? Because it sure as hell feels like it. It does to me. So in other words, if we had this road game tomorrow against the Jets rather than next week, and if they put together a solid Patriot-like performance for four quarters, even against that Jets team that's mostly been garbage, that is going to end up firing their head coach. I know that it would alleviate some of my concerns about this team going forward, even if it's just temporarily. Because, again, I have to sit here and let it fester until after Thanksgiving. And I would welcome that, the temporary feeling. I would welcome that more than how I feel today, which is sitting here, feeling like I'm waiting for bad news on a biopsy on a team and quarterback that look like an absolute mess at the worst possible time of year. It's like I'm waiting for the doctor to come in and tell me, we're sorry to inform you, Mr. Murray, we've discovered that the 2018 Patriots have a malignant issue with their offense, and yes, as you feared, they actually suck. We're sorry. Too negative, hyperbolic. This is just me being Big Jim Murray. You want to accuse me of any of that? Fine, I get it. But that loss to that team on Sunday in November, this time of year, when this team, over the last near two decades, typically start to pull away from the pack, if you didn't walk away from that loss, that thorough ass-kicking by the Tennessee Titans last Sunday, and you're not, like, at least a little bit alarmed, you're sticking your head in the sand. You're not paying attention. You're delusional. Because that was a disaster. That was quit, especially by the defense of the second half. That's the worst road game I've witnessed live since the 2009 Monday Night Massacre in New Orleans to the Saints. A game, need I remind you, that was also in November. And a game, need I remind you, that showed the world. This isn't what we're used to seeing with the New England Patriots. In fact, this team kind of sucks. And so, help me with this. Why the shrug? Why the lack of concern from so many of you? Why do you look at this and just say, no, they'll be fine? You want to point to the sustained success, the history? You can do that. I get it. Like, that's your out. But do your eyes work? Did you actually watch that game? You really paying attention to what you've seen, at least with the offense, through 10 weeks? Can you honestly tell me that you watched last week's game and really this Patriots team week in, week out, and you think there's no real problems with it? Especially offensively, and especially with the quarterback? I'd have to call you a liar. And what I actually partly blame for the lack of concern, at least in regard to last week's game, it's the anesthetic of Nashville. There were so many, more than I've ever seen in all these road games I've ever traveled to. There were so many Patriots fans down in that fantastic city last weekend, having a wonderful, booze-soaked, hot chicken, barbecue-filled time, that it numbed you. It numbed a lot of you to the pain of what took place in that game. I know what happened to me. It did. Even in the first quarter and a half, I'm like, whatever. I've had a great time. But then I sobered up real quick, real fast, around mid-second quarter, when I watched Tom Brady play like he's a shook, confused old man. Why didn't the rest of you kind of sober up while you were watching that? Joe, did you watch this thing? Like, did you walk away from this feeling like, everything's going to be fine with the Patriots. No issues with Tom Brady. Offense is all good. Don't worry about it. They're the Pats. They'll figure it out.
I didn't walk away from it like that. I actually think that they were challenged, something that some teams just don't do. Vrabel came out the week and said they're going to take away James White. That's what they did.
First play of the game.
Right? They took him right out. I also think that the Patriots, you know, tried to come up with some trick plays. Again, the pass to Tom Brady, which I think we both agree, no more. Right? From here on out, no more passes for Tom Brady. Out on throwing the ball to Tom Brady. Shouldn't happen anymore. And what Vrabel do? I think we could do that a little bit better. So I actually think they were challenged. They were embarrassed, both coaching, offense, defense, special teams, you name it. So I came away from it being like, all right, they're struggling on the road. They need to get home field advantage or it's going to be a struggle. Also came out of it thinking, this probably isn't a Super Bowl team this year. It probably isn't. But after watching other teams play and, you know, watching what's happening to the Eagles right now and just injuries in the league, they're probably still one of the top 5-6 teams in the league, right?
Oh, yeah, I know.
So if they get to the tournament, they still have a shot no matter what. So looking at it on the bright side here, they still get into the playoffs and they still get a shot. It just depends on are they home or away, because I'll tell you, if they got to go on the road in the first round, or they'll probably host the first round,
sure.
But if they got to go on the road again, I mean, they probably can't beat one of those teams on the road.
Yeah, as of right now, they're the 3 seed. If it ended up that way, they'd at least be home for wild card weekend, which hasn't happened since, again, 2009, a team that I didn't believe in as we got to this time of year. But I would like them against whatever team that would be right now. It would be the Cincinnati Bengals. That's an automatic win because the Bengals can't win a playoff game. But on the road, week two, I don't like it because of how bad this team has looked on the road consistently this year, even in wins like the one in Buffalo a few weeks back on that Monday night. So I just, I get it. I know, you know, I'm surrounded by negativity on Felger and Maz, but this is how I've always been. It, believe me, especially when it comes to this team that I care about more than any other of all the teams. It's the Patriots for me. So I always expect the worst. I'm not, you know, for you people that are 30 and younger, because I talked to a ton of fans that were down in Nashville last week, and a lot of people were like, I don't get it, man. Like, why are you like this? I'm like, why am I like this? I was born with this. My mother was a sports fan more than my dad, and I had to watch that poor woman cry her eyes out in 86 as the Red Sox blew that World Series. Like, I grew up waiting for the other shoe to drop. So that's just how I am. I'm programmed that way. I still expect the worst to happen. And with this team, I'm sorry. I'm comparing it to the other Patriots teams. You're right, Joe. Like, comparatively speaking to the rest of the NFL, yeah, one of the top 5 or 6 teams in the league. But comparatively speaking to other Patriots teams, do they look like, well, the New England Patriots to you? Or how they looked even last year? I mean, we know about the defensive deficiencies that they've had the last few years. But this offense, how Brady's playing, again, if you're not alarmed, you're not paying attention. And as I sobered up watching this team last week and really realizing, like, wow, I got fooled by that Green Bay game, I also sobered up when it came to Rob Gronkowski. I had a bit of an epiphany when it comes to Rob Gronkowski, who, again, didn't play last week, even though he traveled with the team. So I want to get to that. And I want to hear, like, why the shrug from so many of you? Why can you look at last week's game, that thorough ass-kicking by just such a mediocre Tennessee Titans team, and just say, no, they'll be fine? Because, again, I don't think that you're paying attention. I really don't. That team's not that good. Their defense is improved. Mike Vrabel looks like he could be a hell of a coach here going forward. But Marcus Mariota, oh, he stinks. And their offense stinks. And they got it pushed in last week in November when it normally doesn't happen. So if you want to weigh in, it's going to be Pat's Heavy here this first hour, 617-779-0985. Your calls and my epiphany on Rob Gronkowski next here on a Gasperless Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
With Rob Gronkowski, I've been like that. Like, oh, it so much depends on Gronk. Gronk's health is paramount to their success. I don't care anymore. I don't. And I think that Colin Cowherd's actually right. Like, at this point, it's kind of proven. Well, even that Super Bowl they won against the Atlanta Falcons a few years back. Like, okay, yeah, he's a luxury, but he's kind of irrelevant, especially this year. Like, I just don't care. I don't care about the drama surrounding Rob Gronkowski anymore. It's just play, don't play, whatever. Like, I'll put it to you this way. If you missed it earlier this week, they do the 10-question segment with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal when he's in on Tuesdays in Felger and Maz. And one of the questions this week was, who's the biggest Patriot tool bag? And when it came to me, I said Rob Gronkowski, because I'm over it. I'm just over the drama with Gronk. Is he going to play? Is he not playing? What's he dealing with injuries? What's going on with Gronk? Is he going to retire? Is he happy? I don't care anymore about Rob Gronkowski. I don't. I'm over it. I'm so over it at this point. Walk. And the other thing, too, and I will admit, couldn't have been more wrong about this, Jim. Bill Belichick was right to try to trade him before the season. He really was. Far be it for me to question the greatest coach of all time, or one of them, in his personnel decisions. Because at the time, and I firmly believe, like, he couldn't, because I believed that Tom Brady came in and said, look, you're going to try to trade Rob Gronkowski. I'm retiring. You can't do it. So you had to keep him because Tom was going to retire. But looking at Rob and how Bill Belichick time and again gets in front of this, always moves on a player a little bit early rather than too late, he was right. He was right. He knew. He knew Rob Gronkowski was basically done. Whether it's injuries or apathy, there's just something off. And overall, Joe, I'm done. I'm tired. I'm done. To use your phrase, out on Rob Gronkowski.
I agree. I think at this point, it's all right. Gronk, you going to show up or not? I will say I am kind of upset he didn't play last week.
He traveled.
Why even go?
Right.
Why even send him? Like, if he's got a bad back or whatever it is, all right, we're going to send him on a plane there? I'm a little upset he didn't play last week just for the simple fact that, you know, this team struggled on the road. And the guy can be a factor. I mean, how many times were the safeties up in the box trying to stop the run or trying to stop James White? The guy can, forever, many times he's on the field or not, he still can make an impact in the game. You know, and I agree with him. Tired of the whole, you know, is he going to play or not? But there are a few things. And one of the things you said at the beginning of the show was, what's wrong with Tom Brady? And I don't know, you just said Bill Belichick was right about probably trying to trade Gronk. I agree. But maybe Bill Belichick was right about their quarterback not showing up. I don't want to hear that today. Like, oh, who cares if Brady wasn't there for team activities? Maybe it's starting to show a little bit right now. Maybe he's starting to wear down a little bit. And if he had those reps earlier on, maybe he wouldn't throw a bad toss to the sideline to James White. So at this point, Bill Belichick looks right. Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, they look wrong, and maybe that's why the Patriots are in this situation.
Yeah, I didn't want to believe that either, Joe, only because you know, it was something that Felger was extremely dug in on, too. Like, oh, it's going to show up on the margins, Tom not being there for the OTAs. And I'm like, oh, please, the OTAs, does it really even matter? Well, maybe that's what you're seeing with Tom Brady. Maybe it isn't age. Maybe it isn't an injury of some kind. Maybe it's just, you know, he didn't have the reps that he normally has during the offseason, and this is why it's showing up, to use Mike's phrase, on the margins. And that one particular throw that you're talking about, too, on the side to James White, like, whew, boy. And it's up on the Felger and Maz Facebook page, too, if you want to just continue to watch it and get angry or concerned about it. Like, he's essentially throwing ducks into the dirt, like, to guys that are open. That's a throw that he usually makes 10 times out of 10. So there's something going on there. But with Gronk, I'm a firm believer, Joe, that one of the worst thing you can feel as a sports fan is apathy about your team or players. Like, it's good to even feel the anger or hate towards someone because they let you down. When you get to feeling apathy as a fan, well, that's the worst thing because you just don't care anymore. And with Gronk, it's apathy. I just don't care. Like, play, don't play, retire, don't, whatever. But the bottom line is, overall, I was wrong when I questioned Bill Belichick heading into the season. Oh, my God, how dare you try to trade Rob Gronkowski? He should have traded Gronk. Couldn't, yeah, because Brady would have retired, too. So I get it. He's handcuffed there. But he was right to think about doing it.
And now what? He'll just retire? They can't even trade him.
Right.
Oh, and then the contract thing is going to get brought up all over again. So this isn't going anywhere, Jim.
Yeah.
Unless they cut his ass or somehow trade him, this thing's going to carry on for another year or the rest of the season.
Paul in Hanover, you're first up here on a Gasperless Gasper and Mari today. Your thoughts on Gronk?
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it, Jim. Hey, listen, it's not so much my thoughts, but I go to Peak Physical Therapy in Hanover, and anyways, my therapist I've seen for a few months, he has the unique position of having a doctorate in physical therapy and being a former corner in a, you know, playing college football. So I asked him earlier this week, I said, you know, Sam, what do you think about Gronk? Like, what's going on? Because he's an avid football fan. And he said, from his perspective as a player and a clinician, what he sees is that Gronk's had one injury too many. You know, the ankle injury affects his explosiveness. And he said, no matter how physically gifted he is, Gronk is, that he's been hit by some of the biggest, fastest, strongest men in the world running as hard as they can for 9 years, and he just doesn't have it, and he doesn't see that physically he'll really even be able to play next year. So I thought that from a perspective of a medical guy and a former college player, I thought that was a really interesting assessment.
Thanks for the call, Paul. I not so much the ankle. I think it's the back. How many back surgeries has he had now since he was in college? Is it three? Three times he's gone under the knife? Either way, that's one's too many. You know, that's such a terrifying surgery. And, you know, one wrong move, you're eating the rest of your meals through a straw for the rest of your life. So I can understand his concern there, and one bad hit, he could end up like that. But if that was a strong concern for Gronk, and maybe that's why he looks like, you know, sad puppy dog Gronk now, then he should have retired. He should have walked before the season. But no, instead is, will he play? Won't he play? What's going on with Rob? Is Rob feeling it? Why is he so sad? Where is Gronk? Gronk travels with team. Gronk doesn't play with team. What? Enough. I'm over it. Dave in New Hampshire, you're next here on Gasperless Gasper and Murray. Hi, Dave.
Hey, I have a theory on the Hogan thing.
Sure.
There was a game early in the year, I can't remember which one, where Brady had two picks, and neither of them were his fault. One of them he threw to Gronk, he got popped, ball squirted out.
The Thursday game against Indy, yeah.
Yeah, the other one just banged off Hogan's hands. I haven't looked at what his targets have been since then, but he's not like a Edelman or Gronk or even Josh Gordon, who's like an elite wide receiver in the league. I don't know if that's like a death sentence with Brady for someone like that. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
Dave,
know, just it, your thoughts on
it,
that.
It's as good a theory as any other. I mean, I floated it out there this week on with Mike and Tony that, you know, maybe Brady looks at Chris Hogan as the leak to the Seth Wickersham piece going back to last year when you hear in that that column on ESPN that, you know, Chris Hogan, with the medicine ball or the hospital ball that Brady's throwing in the game against the L.A. Chargers, he gets Chris Hogan hurt. Maybe it was Chris Hogan that was the leak there. So maybe Brady is paranoid and looks at him there and says, like, ah, this guy's out of my circle of trust. But maybe it's just what the caller just said. You know, he's not looking his way. I can tell you, I was up in the boonies, sitting at the 50. There was many times I saw guys open, specifically Chris Hogan, and Tom Brady's not throwing to him. It's like he's completely out of the circle of trust. There's something going on there. I don't get it. I don't know if that's just that he was feeling phantom pressure last week against Tennessee because they're bringing guys up the middle, and that's, you know, obviously how you get Tom Brady off of his game. But this has been sustained throughout the season so far. He's not really targeting Chris Hogan, especially when he's been open. Makes no sense. Well, go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say zero targets the last two games. I just looked at the box scores. Literally zero targets for Chris Hogan in the last two games, and I'm looking at the Buffalo game as well. No target. He had two targets in that game. And so in the last three games, two targets.
And between him and Philip Dorsett, who flashed in the preseason and even early in the season, and I think he had seven or eight targets in the game against Miami, which was his best of the year, and he was pretty good against Houston in week one, it's like he has nothing to do with the offense anymore either. It's just, no, I'm just going to keep forcing balls. What was it, 12 this past week to Josh Gordon? And I like the Josh Gordon signing, and there's times where it looks like, okay, I like the toughness. It doesn't look like he has his explosiveness anymore, but I like the toughness you've seen, especially in traffic with Josh Gordon. But stop trying to force balls to him, especially when it's like third and four, and you're chucking up a prayer to him. Blech. We'll continue to take your calls on this, 617-779-0985. Pat's heavy here this first hour. Of course, we're going to get to that big Celtics win over the Raptors coming up at noon on the Sports Hub Celtics show. And if you don't know what I'm talking about there, well, Joe Murray's going to get you caught up here in the Sports Hub headlines.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You evaluate your team as a general manager based on how you play on the road. And I just don't see the Patriots going into Kansas City winning a game. I think they're going to have a hard time winning a game no matter where they have to go. I think it's going to be a challenge all the time for them because I think teams can take away Brady. He didn't play well against Tennessee. He felt a lot of pressure. I think it's a tough one. They did not look good. Tennessee dominated that game. Actually, that score might not have been as close. And that's the third straight double-digit loss on the road by the Patriots this year. Not maybe not third straight, but it's the third double-digit loss on the road.
So it's not just me that's freaking out, fan and mope, that gets to yammer into a microphone about these teams and the Patriots on a day-to-day basis. No, that's Michael Lombardi, the guy who for a few years was, you know, an assistant to the coaching staff of the Patriots, who now, you know, writes for The Athletic, does that GM Street podcast, and that's what he was talking about, just a few days back about this team, this Patriots team. He doesn't believe in it. Then how bad that they've looked on the road and how they've, not just bad, I mean, they've gotten throttled on the road by bad teams. The Jacksonville game, that one's the one I give a pass to. The spot was incredibly difficult. It was week two. It was 100 degrees. It's like one of the hottest NFL games on record. That was Jacksonville's de facto Super Bowl after the AFC Championship game from last year. So fine. That one I give a pass to. The Detroit game the following week, this past Sunday against that Nashville team that's just so mediocre that will finish like 9-7 again. Oh, my God. And the fact that the thing that I found stunning really early, too, is like, wow, they're specifically going at Stephon Gilmore. And he got torched. And here was a guy that I thought was probably the best player on the team overall between him and James White so far this year, but definitely on the defense. And he looked like bad Stephon Gilmore of last year. So a lot of concerns there. It's nice to know that I'm not alone. At least Michael Lombardi feels that way. But I just feel like, at least based on, you know, some of the feedback on Twitter, and I know you got to take that with a grain of salt, but a lot of fans, and even calls we took this week on Felger and Mess, were just like, it'll be fine. They'll be fine. That kind of ass kicking in November? Yeah, okay, yeah, they have the occasional hiccup like they did last year on the Monday night game in December against Miami. But it was a hell of a lot more competitive than that was. Again, that reminded me of 2009, the Monday Night Massacre. I think it was, you know, a few days after Thanksgiving. So again, in November against the Saints. But that Saints team, they went on to win the Super Bowl. This Titans team, mediocre at best. I don't know how you can look at this team right now and not feel at least a little bit concerned. I just think you're sticking your head in the sand. And again, just to reset with Gronk, my epiphany with Rob Gronkowski, I just don't care anymore. I'm now apathetic about Rob Gronkowski. And Joe Murray agrees as well. And it's good to hear that, too, because I'd like to know I'm not alone there. Like, yeah, it'd be better to have him. He's a luxury. But if he's going to be a shell of himself, if he's going to be wishy-washy, will he play, won't he play, is he hurt, who knows, traveling with the team, won't play, like, enough. I'm just over the drama with Rob Gronkowski. It's just so old. Year in, year out now, the last handful of years, it's just this over and over and over again. It's just tired at this point.
Yeah, just one positive here is they get him back. You know, they play games on the road. They play Pittsburgh, Minnesota, things like that. Maybe Gronk looks at it as this is his last run here and he goes all out. And
hopefully.
Maybe it gives him the spark they need down the stretch.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one silver lining. But again, just how the offense just looks so bad. Nick in the car. You're next here as we're talking Patriots on Gasper Murray. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Do you think, I know what I think, but do you guys think maybe Belichick, his messages just gotten stale? Like, these guys are sick of listening to him. I mean, I'm ready to see him go, you know? I just think his time has come to an end. I'd like to see him in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. He wanted him anyway, so go ahead.
Nick, I can understand that. Look, and it's been a frustrating year. I'm not willing to say that. I think maybe his message has been tuned out by Tom Brady. I think that's probably happened. Based on everything that you read about what's gone on between those two behind the scenes the last couple of seasons. Yeah, I think there. But the rest of the team? No. What's happened with them special teams-wise this year is extremely concerning. And I heard Adam Jones talk about this week that maybe the game is starting to pass Bill Belichick by in terms of his age, how long he's been around. And special teams is usually his calling card, right, Joe? So all these guys and how much he's invested into that that area of the team. They've been wretched this year. Maybe some of the worst special teams I've ever seen during this near 20-year run of dominance by, you know, by the Patriots in this Brady Belichick era. The special teams are wretched, especially in kick coverage. So I don't know, have they been tuned out or is it just bad personnel? But it seems like something's up there. I don't think that these guys have tuned him out. I don't think that he doesn't know how to coach anymore or anything like that. It's just the whole thing just feels off. That's all.
Yeah, and I think he's put trust in some guys. Like, again, should they put the whole entire offense on Tom Brady's shoulders at 41 years old? No. Like, and maybe they missed on Sony Michel, who, you know, it's still out. We'll see what he does. But, you know, the guy wasn't ready, and they really don't have a running game. So here it is, all on Tom Brady again. And, oh, the defense still stinks, right? I mean, when it all comes down to it, yeah, the offense struggles, but the defense stinks. They haven't upgraded it there. They have J.C. Jackson, an undrafted rookie, playing on the outside. He's actually played pretty well. They have Jason McCourty running everyone around, and I'll be honest with you, I think Devin McCourty's taking a huge step back.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Dante Hightower, special teams player of the week a couple of weeks ago. That guy who's made huge plays in the Super Bowl is delegated to special teams player of the week. The defense stinks. They haven't improved. Yeah, they made some moves here and there like Danny Shelton, but the defense seems to be the huge issue, and if they can't stop anyone and the offense can't score, well, that's why you suck. And if you can't score on the road and play defense, you're going to suck and lose again.
Yeah, now I won't doubt Belichick the coach, but Belichick the GM, well, then we can get into some of the questioning and how, you know, third-round picks have been traded willy-nilly for bums like Coney Ealy last year, some of the guys that he's drafted. Okay, maybe Isaiah Wynn ends up being, you know, one of the guys that's an anchor on this offensive line towards the future, and maybe Sony Michel does become one of the great running backs in the NFL. But right now, those kind of feel like wasted picks, especially when a guy in between those two was Calvin Ridley, the stud wide receiver at Alabama, who I believe, as of right now, has 7 touchdowns for the Atlanta Falcons.
He's awesome.
Oh, my God. Filthy. But you mean to tell me this offense couldn't use a player like him? So, yeah, you want to question Belichick the GM? I'm all for that. But Belichick, the coach, no, I don't think that these guys, outside of Brady, have tuned him out. We'll continue to take your Patriots calls. You want to join the show, 617-779-0985. But, of course, the other voice you hear today is Joe Murray, one half of the Bankroll Boys, the Over-Under podcast that he does with Dan Lifshantz. You can check that out at 985sportshub.com. A lot of action today. And Joe is just telling me he's been getting in a lot of action right now as he's taking some time off after his honeymoon. So what should you bet on today? In fact, we'll even have a game here on these airwaves, Notre Dame, Syracuse. So how to wager on that and other games coming up this weekend. Next, here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
The Bankroll Boys, oh, they are making cash. They're making cash. Oh, they're making cash.
The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him
Joe Murray. Yes, the gambling monster is alongside here. On a Gasperless Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Joe Murray, one half of Over Under, 98.5, the great podcast on 98.5thesportshub.com. Also follow these guys on Twitter. I know Dan Lifshantz, the other half of Over Under, 98.5, always putting out like a daily pick here and there. You were just telling me, Joe, he's absolutely crushing
it right now. He is crushing it right now. We'd love more hits. I don't want to be desperate for it, but we should be the most listened to podcast at the station with all the picks we're giving away and money. So fade or follow, I always tell people that, but literally we have been giving away money for free, no subscription, just guys who love betting on sports. And our live podcast is up today for all those who want to bet on today's games.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. So typically these type of services you gotta pay for, and hopefully, you know, this continues to work the way that it is for you guys, that it will go that way so you can get some dough on that end. But most of these services, like who's the guy at night on CBS Sports Radio? It's
Pharrell on the
Pharrell.
Bench.
Yeah, Pharrell on the bets.
Yeah, Pharrell on the bets. You gotta sign up for Pharrell on the bets. All right, Mafia, we're gonna be giving them away.
Like, okay, for his service, you gotta pay. These guys, they're just giving away free money. You've also been getting in a lot of action, Joe. What do you like, at least in terms of some of the college games today?
So just to put this out there, we've crushed college football. We went 7-0 last week in college football. It's become more easier because of the whole college playoff. So today at 2 p.m. on the Sports Hub, Notre Dame at Syracuse. A lot of people think Notre Dame are just, they're lucky because they're in the independent. They have a quarterback named Ian Book that is legit. They're going up against Syracuse today that has a great offense. Dino Babers has really turned that program around. Eric Dungy's their quarterback. Very good. They're 6-0 at home. This game will be played at Yankee Stadium. So I can consider this a road game, which puts Syracuse, again, is a 10-point dog today. I think Notre Dame wins by double digits today.
Okay.
You can hear that on right here on the Sports Hub, but Notre Dame needs to win out. They're not going to let Syracuse beat them. I'm sorry. Not going to happen. Also today, West Virginia at Oklahoma State. West Virginia still has a chance to get into the college playoff. I won't bore you with the details, but they win today and beat Oklahoma twice in the Big 12 championship game and in their regular season game. They sneak into the fourth spot in the college playoff. They have lost three in a row in this series. That senior class can't get swept by Oklahoma State, who just came off a one-point loss in Bedlam last week. So I think Oklahoma State, coming off that terrible loss, they lose today to Will Grier and West Virginia. So I like West Virginia in this game. Two more games tonight, Iowa State versus Texas. Iowa State has been awesome against the spread as an underdog. Texas has one of the best wide receivers in the country named Rudolph. High-scoring game. So take the over in that one. I think Texas squeaks by. And my pick of the day, I put this on the podcast this week, Central Florida, undefeated Central Florida, who should be in the conversation in the national championship playoff. I don't care what conference they're in. They play Cincinnati today. They're 7-point favorites. Lock it up. UCF wins big. Game day is there today. So I think they knock off Cincinnati, who's got one loss against Temple. So UCF wins it. And somehow they make it competitive to get into the college playoff. I just don't think it happens.
I'm with you on that. And that was the same thing last year, too, that they get hosed because of the goofy conference that they're in. That UCF team is legit. So that's a great pick. So, again, UCF.
Tonight, lock it up. Tonight, 7 points.
Over Cincinnati. How about any action for tomorrow with the NFL?
So like? The Saints have been outstanding. I believe they're 6-0 in their against the spread in their last six games. They're -8. It's a high spread, but the Eagles just lost Darby on the outside. They're down to their fourth corner right now. I know. It's a little tough to bet that, but the Eagles are in a rough spot right now. I kind of like the Saints tomorrow. And my pick of the day, I like the Texans on a bye week against Washington. Washington's real beat up. Josh Norman this week talked about playing in Washington, how the fans, you know, really aren't behind them. It's a 3-point spread. Texans still have a shot to get a bye, depending on what happens with the playoffs. You know, with the Patriots and with the Chargers. So they're one of the best teams right now, I think, that are going under the radar. I like the Texans -3 in the NFL this week.
All right, so Texans over the Washington Redskins, and you like the Saints to
I like the
cover.
Saints. I'd buy it down to 7.
Yeah.
The 8's a bad number, but I think they roll the Eagles tomorrow.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did I hear correctly that the Eagles are it's at 9 right now, right? Is that what that number is at?
Yeah, I had it at 8. I'll look at it right now.
But either way, I had heard that that's the highest. They're the biggest underdog as a defending Super Bowl champion since.
That's right.
I think 2009 in the Pittsburgh Steelers when Roethlisberger got hurt.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they've been an absolute disaster, and I also feel a little bit vindicated there because I thought they'd finish like 7-9, 8-8, and they felt like a bit of a fraud, which made that Super Bowl loss feel even worse. But be that as it may, great picks from Joe Murray. Again, if you missed any of this stuff, your lock of the week is also at over/under on 98.5thesportshub.com. You also make your weekly appearances with Toucher and Rich as well. And again, Twitter, where can people find you?
At Joey Murr and at over/under 98.5. We posted our picks today. So it's almost 12 o'clock. Get it in. Call your book. Get those picks in.
All right. And if you have any questions for Joe in regard to some of this action, too, you can always give us a call at 617-779-0985. But we've been Patriots heavy for this first hour before we transition over to the Sports Hub Celtics show in mere minutes. So I want to squeeze in a few more calls like Andrew in Medford. You're next here on a Gasperless Gasper and Murray. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So I understand the worry about the Patriots, but if I can, I think it's a little bit analogous to maybe the Celtics right now. I know they're at a different point in the season, but both teams coming off a bad road trip. Celtics go in, beat the terrible Bulls, and then look good against the Raptors. If the Patriots can really knock around the Jets and then, you know, beat the pretty good Vikings, doesn't that ease the worry a little? I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, absolutely, guys. Andrew. And this is why I opened the show saying selfishly, I hate that they're on a bye this week, because if they could put together not even three complete quarters against a bad Jets team that's going to end up firing Todd Bowles, their head coach. And if it was tomorrow, I would feel better about it. I would feel a little bit more confident going forward. I would feel how I felt about the team maybe after how they played against the Green Bay Packers, because especially defensively, I thought that was, at least on that side of the ball, their most complete win of the year. And then against a good Vikings team who might have the best wide receiver duo in the NFL.
in Thielen and Diggs, yeah, I'd feel better if they put together two really solid games against them. But right now, no, panic city for me. Dylan in Fairhaven, you're next here on Gaspar Murray.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I understand the concern with Brady. You know, he hasn't been great all year. But he's had droughts before, especially late last season in December. But for me, before I start to think about, you know, a decline or taking a major step back, I feel like I need two wretched performances like last week consecutively in a row before I even start to think about that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dylan. I just, him ducking out of pressure like that. And, for me, it was great to see, you know, even though I was up in the 300s, but sitting at the 50-yard line, especially as it got to towards the end of the first half, I made it a point. In my my drunken haze, I was like, you know what, I'm going to watch the backfield. I want to see if there's guys open, and there were. And he was feeling phantom pressure. And okay, you get guys up the middle. Even when Vrabel was with the Houston Texans, he did it in some of those playoff games, and obviously the Patriots won. But defensively, they had success, and they weren't good numbers for Brady in those couple of playoff games, especially the one few years back in the divisional round. So they know how to get at him. That's the blueprint. But that, like, I don't know, him ducking out, chucking and ducking, that kind of thing, like, ugh. Ooh, that was bad. Bad, especially when there was guys wide open at times. And guys like Chris Hogan. So there's something going on there. I don't know. I just know that I'm strongly concerned going forward right now in terms of how Brady's played, not just this past week, this whole year, and how the team looks. I think they just might stink like they did in 2009. In 2013. But we'll pause the Patriots conversation for now. We'll pick that up in an hour. We have to get to the Celtics and their big win, a game that I called a must win against the Toronto Raptors last night at TD Garden. We'll get to the Sports Hub Celtics show right after the Sports Hub headlines with Joe Murray here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.